Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Well, how can we not be ready on a Monday morning? It's the morning show with Boomer Esiason and on the Fan, CBS Sports Network as well, with Eddie and Al, the whole gang here, as we are barreling our way towards Christmas, the final week of Mike. We've got that going on. And let me just say this. No, I can't say that, actually.
All right, so what are you going to say?
I almost said thank God for the Yankees.
Yeah, no, don't say that.
Because
man.
Everybody else sucks.
You know what? I just want to know one thing. Are you going to apologize to me or not?
I will. All right. I was going to get that. I figured maybe after 7 o'clock, but let's just get it out of the gate,
and you could do it all through the morning.
And you can do it to me as well, because while I was trying to have the discussion about Giancarlo Stanton to the Yankees on Friday, instead I got from you, not happening. Let's just move on and talk about Eli Manning. Okay. And then about 12 hours later, oh, look, the Yankees might get Giancarlo Stanton. Can you believe it?
Well, he would have not come to the Yankees had it not been for himself.
Because we knew that Friday morning.
Well, I didn't know that Friday morning. It never came out. He never said that, you know, I'm refuting a trade to San Francisco and to St. Louis. And this is a word to all the general managers in this area. Do not give no trade clauses, because no trade clauses back you into a corner.
They kill you.
Now, in the case of Derek Jeter, he inherited it, so he didn't give it. And in case of like Scott Perry for the Knicks GM, he inherited it from Phil Jackson. Now, Scott Perry did something with it. It was amazing what he did with it and what he got with it, because without the guys that are on the Knicks right now, they would have lost to Atlanta again last night.
Probably so.
But the fact of the matter is that Derek Jeter got boxed into a corner and had really no choice but to send him to the Yankees, because Giancarlo wanted to come to the
Yankees. We sat here Friday morning and we knew the teams, the Yankees, the Astros, the Dodgers, the Cubs. And guess who got him? The Yankees got him. So it was a very real possibility,
because he didn't want to go anywhere else.
Right, we knew that. He said no to the Cardinals. He said no to the Giants. And so that's why we knew on Friday there were four teams and four teams only. So anyway, that
turned
out to be inside.
One team.
It turned out to be one team. So you can apologize to me. That's
all right,
cool.
Jerry, I know, I did. I kind of said to you on Twitter, because you were tweeting stuff out. And
no, just one
like
thing that it was
I just
a possibility.
Say, Jerry, you wanted him for the Mets.
I did.
And then I basically told you that is a
right. And Friday morning, you told me he was not coming to the Yankees.
It's a major pipe
dream. So you can apologize now, and then I'll get on to my
you
apology.
You misunderstood what I was trying to say.
And Giancarlo Stanton.
You never know. Could end up in New York. We'll see.
Right now, though. Yes.
So I was just going to say, you know, the big news right now for me is not Stanton, because I don't believe that's even the case. I can't imagine
but
that.
But it's fun to talk about.
It is fun to talk about, but I don't see it happening. The real issue around here, I think, is going to be Sunday at MetLife Stadium. Don't you think?
Giants-Cowboys?
Yes.
Not happening.
My bet.
You know,
it happened.
The 78,000 people that showed up to Giants-Cowboys, it was a big day.
Yeah, but not much.
Was
that
it not
game
a big
was,
day
That game
no?
was hideous.
Doesn't matter about the game.
That game
I'm talking
sucked.
About the prior to the game was the I messaging guess. That the Giant fan
the problem
was giving
is,
to the ownership.
Giancarlo Stanton came to the Yankees between Friday and Sunday, which kind of threw things out of whack. Let me apologize to you.
All right.
Well, trust me, we'll do the Giants and the Cowboys in a minute. So you said here 2 weeks ago, and you said, I got no feeling for the Mets going. There's no excitement for the Mets going into the new season. To which I tried to fight you off and say, listen, it's November. Can you give them a break and let some things kind of develop? Can you just give them a chance? And I sat here and I defended them and I defended them
yes,
and I defended
did.
Them
yes,
and I defended Sandy Alderson. Yes. Sandy's going to do something. He's going to make trades. And you sat there and said, watch the Yankees do something big and the Mets do nothing. And I said, what are the Yankees going to do? They got their next level manager. They want 91 games. The Yankees will go find a pitcher and the Yankees will be set. Oh my God, Giancarlo Stanton goes to the Yankees. Good for them. Let me read you a couple of quotes from Sandy Alderson this morning as the GM meetings or the winter meetings have begun in Orlando. Quote number one, which every Met fan should just vomit as they pull over on the side of the road. Quote, our farm system right now is not exactly brimming with prospects. That's great. So a team that wants to make trades is admitting that they have nobody to trade to get anybody. That's awesome. That's number one. Number two, I mean, why? Why are we taking shots at our prospects that aren't exactly brimming with any talent. With Brandon Nimmo in right field, we just didn't feel we had a need right there, meaning Stanton. Why? Why do that? Okay, that's number two. Number three, in terms of Stanton, I just didn't think, given the contract, a variety of circumstances, it made any sense for us to feign any interest for the purpose of public consumption. Wake up! Yes, there is a reason for public...
Yeah, but you can't feign interest,
what
though.
Is
I
that?
Understand, though, that's honesty. You can't feign interest.
Can't you try?
And Jerry, I've been trying to be honest with you in regards to the Mets now for the last... Since the season's been over. I told you, they're not going to do much.
My mistake, I apologize. Please accept.
You know, if you sat here and you told me that they were going to get Eric Hosmer, they're going to get Mike Moustakas or anything like that, I would say pipe dream. It's just not happening. I don't know what's going on financially with the Mets. I have no idea what's going on with them. It's just, it seems like it's gotten worse as opposed to getting better. You would have thought by now things would have ironed itself out, cleaned itself up, and everything would have been okay, and they would be able to start spending some money again. And now they're going the complete opposite way. While the Yankees are adding salary and adding names, they're going the other way. And I'm just telling you, they have to. What they should do is they should try to do what Houston did about 5 years ago. They just rip the whole thing down and start over and start selling off assets and trying to rebuild a team that is basically built right now on the fragile nature of the arms of the pitching staff.
You know what the problem with that, though, Boomer, is? They're not that far away from being good. You know, it wasn't 22 years ago they were in the World Series. It was 2 years ago that they were in the World Series.
And none of those guys are here anymore, except for the pitching staff.
For the most part, I get it. But if Syndergaard and DeGrom just start there, and DeGrom was a workhorse last year, I don't think there's any issue with him.
So you got your top two starters, assuming
right.
I don't want to get into this, but I'm just telling you right now, the feeling around the Mets and the Yankees are completely 180.
Well, especially now this morning. I mean, after what happened Saturday morning.
Even with the signing of Aaron Boone and how they've dominated the back pages and now will continue to dominate the back pages. And, you know, the interesting thing here for me is going to be, okay, is Aaron Boone now going to breathe a life of fresh air into all of these? I mean,
He's got a tough job ahead of him.
Didi Gregorius already tweeted out, am I batting fourth? I mean, this is not – you don't understand what it's like to manage or coach a group of men, especially men that are all, jacked up and all want to put up big numbers and everything else. And there's always a little infighting that goes on. There's the excitement initially, because
I think that's
where we are right now. We can't wait to see exactly how this whole thing's going to play itself out. But then comes the reality of trying to make it all happen on a daily basis. And you know what? They're all A-type personalities. They all, you got an MVP coming here. You got a rookie of the year here. You got a home run leader here. You got a home run leader there. I mean, it's ridiculous.
And we talked Friday.
It's an embarrassment of riches.
It is. Now you've got, Stanton, Judge, Sanchez. Don't forget about Greg Bird if you're going to put first base into the mix. You've got four guys for four positions, meaning the DH is included as well.
And you still have Ellsbury on the roster.
You still and by the way, from what I'm reading, I saw the quotes like you did. He thinks he can still win the center fielder job. Like, he doesn't want to go anywhere. And so that's a big issue as well. So this team, while they are a fantasy baseball team right now, if you're Aaron Boone, you've got your work ahead of you for all the reasons you just gave. Managing, it's not a matter of managing the talent. It's a matter of managing the egos and putting the lineup out there every day and making sure that everybody's happy, everybody gets their at-bats. That being said, at the end of the day, wow.
I mean, is the idea to win every game 10-9? Is that the idea? I mean, and who are the grinders on the team? Let me ask you a question. Who are the grinders?
What does that mean, who are the grinders?
There always has to be like a group of guys that, outplay their contracts, and I'm sure Gary Sanchez.
Well, Sanchez and Judge are. Well,
they will, because they're young, right, and they're still under control. I get all that.
Sure.
But where are the grinders? Those guys think of themselves as superstars now. They're superstars.
They are
the face of baseball. They are the face of the Bronx. And the other interesting thing here is you have a homegrown guy in Aaron Judge, and you have a guy that they traded for in Giancarlo Stanton, right? So who are Yankee fans going to come down on if somebody's in a slump here?
I think the one on the slump.
Well, I would think that they would come down on Stanton, because he's no Mickey Mantle. That's Mickey Mantle is your right fielder right now, and that happens to be Aaron Judge. And how does this affect Aaron Judge? Is it an adverse effect on Aaron Judge? And if it is an adverse effect on Aaron Judge, if it is, then what happens?
I don't know how it could be. I mean, if you think about this,
I thought about it. I know
if
that.
If you've got Judge, Sanchez, Stanton, Bird, 2, 3, 4, 5, 3, 4, 5, 6, however. Oh, and by the way, Gregorius somewhere in there too. I mean, are you kidding me? I mean, what? I mean, seriously, that is awesome with a capital A. Now, if you're a Met fan, it's terrible. It's exactly what you don't want to see.
It's just like, forget the Mets. The only good thing about the Mets is that they actually play the Marlins, and maybe they can get Starlin Castro in a trade for second base.
All right, so
that actually makes some sense.
So you bring that up.
Well, who are we trading?
Yes, because we're not brimming with talent, apparently.
Right, exactly.
Here's what I do know, and this is where I say the Mets are not that far off. If I told you right now that they wound up with a Josh Harrison, they wound up with a Starlin Castro,
right?
You know, one of those two guys or an Ian Kinsler to play second base, and if they made, and that would be, you know, via trade. Let's say they made one stupid free agent signing. I don't know, Josh Donaldson. Will it happen? Chances are not.
And if he did, he'd get hurt, so I'm not worried about it.
Well, I don't know about that. But if they did, I mean, would you feel a little bit different? But they've got to do it, and I don't know if they're going to. I don't. I keep reading Brian Shaw. Brian Shaw doesn't excite anybody. Now, he'll be useful, and he'll be, I'm sure, good in his role, but they've got to make some sort of a splash.
How surprised were you when you saw Ohtani going to the Angels?
I wasn't. That,
really? Why?
No, because it was the West Coast. That's what he said.
I'm right. It's the Angels, but it's L.A. It's not the smallest market in the world, right? I mean,
you're right, but it's Anaheim. It's not the Dodgers right there in law. And having gone there this year, Anaheim is not exactly right around the corner from L.A.
No, I know it's not, but it is the L.A. L.A. Angels, though. They call themselves the L.A. Angels.
The L.A. Angels of Anaheim.
Yes, of Anaheim, whatever that means.
It would have been a complete disaster, I think, if he went to San Diego and really went low pressure. But so he goes to the Angels. That's fine. I wasn't stunned by that.
Yeah, but don't you think all these teams like Seattle and Minnesota now and all these teams that lose out on Ohtani now start looking other places at the same places that the Mets are going to be looking?
Everybody's looking in the same place.
Exactly.
You're right.
And why would anybody, if it's not for more money, because that's the only reason why I think you would come and play for the Mets, unless, of course, you're Jay Bruce, where you may come back to the Mets because you like the Mets, and you liked it here, and you liked Citi Field, and you liked everything about being a Met, then I could understand that. But if you're not, then you have to come here for one reason and one reason only, because of more money that you're going to make.
I agree, unless they make a significant trade before, before that they go out and try and make a signing. Meaning a trade for someone of significance might show a free agent that the Mets are all in.
Oh, I can tell you, it's crazy. The evil,
foot in the water?
The evil empire is back. I will say this, that it is good for business around here.
No, it
is. Business is a booming, as they say, when it comes to Yankee baseball. It may not be business is a booming for Giant football. It may not be business is a booming for Jet football. But for baseball and for the Yankees, the behemoth of all sports organizations in the greater New York area, it is a booming, Jerry.
The only thing that would have made this more perfect was if A-Rod was named the manager before Aaron Boone.
Oh, it would have been unbelievable.
Could you imagine A-Rod running this show?
That would be great.
With Stanton, oh my God. Giancarlo Stanton's a Yankee. 2 o'clock, by the way, press conference.
It's funny that you say that, because really one of the things that's going to come out of this is all of the ex-players running around here that still live here, that broadcast the games and everything else, just watching how they react to what Aaron Boone is doing.
Yeah.
And how that affects Aaron Boone.
Well, how about guys on the broadcast that wanted the job? It's just human nature. I'm not saying Flaherty or Cone would have got out of their way to knock anything or point mistakes out, but I would think human nature, you didn't even get a call, and yet this guy is the first-time next-level manager, and you've got to manage that.
See, I was saying, I was explaining to people over the weekend that it's one thing to have baseball in your blood, because Aaron definitely has that. And like I said, he was a great broadcaster, really understands the technical aspects of baseball and can discuss those things in quick sound bites and make you understand as a viewer what you're watching and why you're watching and why they're doing what they're doing and all those other things. Here's what he doesn't know and we don't know about him is, how do you manage people? How do you manage outside distractions? How do you manage a slump? How do you manage, you know, a pitcher who can't get out of the ninth inning anymore? How do you manage all of those things? There's one thing that I will say, Joe Girardi definitely handled. He handled those things perfectly in a lot of ways, and he had a way of talking about it, right?
Giancarlo Stanton's a Yankee.
I know that. It's ridiculous.
I must have said it to myself 100 times this weekend. It's exactly right. It's true. They went from so likable, fun, athletic, Hollywood to this again. If you hate the Yankees, you really hate them again.
It's the dark side.
Remember last year, Boomer, you telling me in September, or last year, a few months ago, you telling me in September and October, all New Yorkers must just love this team. What a fun group to watch. And now they're going to get Stanton.
No more.
Oh, my God.
We're back on grounds of dislike now.
Hi, my name is Boomer, and I love the Yankees.
So my question is, when do they trade for Justin Verlander? Is Clayton Kershaw available? What the hell? We need a fifth starter. God almighty.
I'm telling you, it's not that far away.
It might not be.
You know, I don't know. I have to look at the SportTrack website, and I have to see. First of all, I have to understand exactly what Cam Newton was doing in his post-game press conference.
I saw that hat when he was walking in yesterday.
Like Yoda. I don't know what the hell he was doing.
I love that guy. But I have
to figure out exactly how much money the Yankees are spending, because this whole thing about getting below the luxury tax threshold and all that other stuff.
Not as much as you think.
But the one thing is like we talked about it. A-Rod's numbers come off. Teixeira's numbers come off.
And the Marlins are taking a slight piece of it, not a much, but they are going to pay, I think, about $30 million. And what I was reading was the way the numbers get spread out, I think they're still going to be right around the number.
And by the way, your beloved Derek Jeter, the man who walks on water up here, is getting drilled and roasted
you
down
think?
In Miami.
Frank Isola.
They are
immediately
drilling him.
With the,
so
the
and it's not his fault.
They called him Mr. December.
Exactly. I saw that. But it's not his fault. It's basically trying to clean up what was left behind.
Right.
And the realities of business. And he's in a seat right now where he has to make a million unpopular decisions, which is what he's doing. And again, in this situation, Derek Jeter was backed into a corner.
Well, in fairness to Derek Jeter, for the people that are going to kill him for this, and by the way, it doesn't look great. It does look bad that he sent him to the Yankees. But in fairness to Derek Jeter, he had deals with the Giants and Cardinals. And why would you ever think that a guy like those are two teams. It wasn't the Padres. It wasn't, send him out west to Seattle. It was the Giants, who have won, three World Series in the last 7 or 8 years. They've been a model franchise, great building, great city. And the Cardinals, who, what ball player doesn't want to play in St. Louis? So why would you think he would have said no so quickly as he did? So Derek Jeter did find deals before he was given the list of the four teams.
That's exactly right. And everybody in Miami knew that he was going to end up having to do this. But the problem is the no-trade clause. And the no-trade clause makes this whole thing look even worse from a Miami Marlins standpoint, for all 5,000 of them.
Giancarlo Stanton's
fan,
a Yankee.
I should say, right?
If you're Christian Yelich, you see him on Twitter, he was like asking, what are we doing? With all the emojis.
But Christian Yelich doesn't understand the situation that Derek Jeter is
inheriting. No, but if you're a guy on that team, they have just shipped remember what we heard. It was going to be Giancarlo Stanton or everybody else. So they ship away D. Gordon. Maybe you're thinking, all right, maybe Marcelo Ozuna goes next, but we keep Stanton. And then you get rid of Stanton as well.
Now the question is, do they keep Castro or they trade Starlin Castro? And how about if you're Starlin Castro? Yeah, okay. All these guys love all the stuff that's going on around here. Didi's tweeting. This one's tweeting. Everybody's all jacked up, all the Yankee fans. How do you think Starlin Castro feels?
Well, he feels like the heel that can't win a World Series.
Well, he's the other guy. He gets booted out of Chicago, but then at least he's coming to the Yankees, right? So you could get that.
Yeah.
Now he's getting booted out of New York, and he's going to Miami.
Good luck.
Good luck, right?
He's praying for a trade.
And you got to believe he's going to be traded. You have to, because it's, even he's making too much money.
I don't know what to think.
But he would fit in the Mets profit and loss columns pretty well, I think.
That would be. But if the Mets could get him, all of a sudden you're making the right moves again. I just don't know if
I don't know
if Sandy Alderson's awake.
No, he is awake.
No, I know he's awake.
But
I read the quotes.
But he's hamstrung.
But you know what? But there's a way
Here's the deal. Here's the deal. You gotta stop blaming Sandy Alderson, and you have to start placing blame where
Time
blame
out.
Belongs.
I did not blame.
Well, you're talking as if you are. The blame goes on ownership.
I got to read these quotes again.
The blame goes on ownership because ownership ultimately gives him the budget to go out there
and
spend.
Let me ask you this: why would you tell everybody you don't have many prospects to trade? You have many trade chips. Why would you do that?
Maybe he's being honest. Maybe he wants to get fired.
Why?
I don't know. I have no idea.
This is a game of poker or chess, right? You got to make sure that the other guy maybe has to do their own scouting and their own evaluations to say no to prospects. You told him we have nothing to give.
When you ask that question, why? I cannot answer that question because I don't understand really what exactly is going on with the Mets right now. I have it's gotten worse. It's supposed to get better.
That's
it's not
the
supposed
point.
To get worse.
Why are we mocking Brandon Nimmo? What did he do?
Right,
so he's basically making fun of the fact that we've got Brandon Nimmo. Who needs Giancarlo Stanton? Ha, 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 ha.
I think he was being sarcastic. As
you
to
think?
The point, like, but again, you know, like he would say, you know, even if he said, hey, you know, we're in on Giancarlo Stanton. Giancarlo Stanton does not want to come play for the Mets. He wants to come play for the Yankees.
But let him tell you that. Don't you at least want to? If you don't try, you have no chance.
Well, here's the deal. Football stinks around here right now.
There's a lot to get to.
There's a million things to talk about. Carson Wentz was lost by the Eagles. There'll be an MRI today as to whether or not he tore an ACL in his left knee.
The end of the Jacksonville game makes you sick.
The end of the Jacksonville game was awful last night. The end of the Pittsburgh and Baltimore game was unbelievable. Ben Roethlisberger, the first quarterback in NFL history to eclipse 500 yards passing in a game three different times.
Oh, by the way, the Jets haven't passed 100 yet for the game.
If you did not see that game last night, it was incredible.
Terrible.
There were a lot of great games yesterday, a lot of really terrific endings all over the league yesterday. Some movement in the playoffs. The Chargers are coming. A huge game against the Chiefs next Saturday night at Arrowhead Stadium in Kansas City. So Saturday football is back here now for the NFL. A great game Saturday, by the way, between Army and Navy. That was old-time football. Nobody threw a pass. I think there was one or two passes being thrown.
It was like the Colts and Bills.
But it was a terrific game. And, you know, Army wins the Commander-in-Chief trophy for the first time since 1996. So congratulations to Coach Monken and the cadets over there. It was just a great-looking weekend of football, if you ask me, between Army-Navy, between Buffalo and Indianapolis yesterday, and watching LeSean McCoy in those red uniforms running all over the place. It was just a terrific, terrific weekend. All right, 621 on the Fan. We'll take your calls on the other side of the break. It's going to be awesome. It's a great day here in New York to talk about everything that is possible for the New York Giants, the New York Jets moving forward. They're going to get a look at their young quarterbacks. And, of course, the evil empire, the Yankees, strike again as they acquire Giancarlo Stanton from the Miami Marlins and Derek Jeter. Yeah, Jeets!
Listen to Boomer Esiason, morning 6 to 10 on The Fan.
Of course, it was the return of Eli Manning yesterday. Standing ovation from those in the crowd who were actually Giants fans. Hung in there with the Cowboys for 3.5 quarters, but then reality set in.
Play clock at 1. Prescott, quick look, throws it over the middle, and wide open is Smith. Running down the middle of the field, across midfield to the 30, to the 20, to the 15, 10, 5, touchdown Cowboys, 81 yards.
Bob Papa here on The Fan. Bob. Big day for the third year back.
Yeah, third year back, had a big day. A bunch of drop passes again yesterday by the Giants, but still, only 10 points. You know, it's the same thing over and over
and
over again.
That game was the dink and dunk bowl.
It was until,
I mean,
you know,
it was awful to watch.
And really, when you think about what Alfred Morris did and what Dez Bryant did, they both came on short passes.
Yeah.
And then they
ran.
Took off, yes.
Yeah, both of them are,
so
exactly.
I would say, like, the inflated numbers for Dak Prescott of 332 yards were basically runs after catches,
you're
right?
Because you had the 81-yarder from Rod Smith, you had the 50-yarder from Dez Bryant, you had a 54-yarder to Cole Beasley, which set up the Jason Witten touchdown. Those three plays right there is 190 yards worth of passing, and plus the 20, it's 210 right there. There was not much. The Cowboys ran it well. I thought Wayne Gallman played well.
Wayne Gallman actually looks like a real deal. Yeah. I mean, it was the first time, yes. I don't know if it was the uniforms they were wearing, the throwback uniforms
great,
or whatever.
By the way.
They look great, by the way, yes. And I was telling Phil Simms, I said, it looks so much better on Eli than it did on him.
Here's what I don't understand.
Screw Phil Simms!
As a former player, explain this to me. They're 2-10.
Yes.
They're going nowhere fast.
Right.
They actually had a couple of drives that would stall with a 4th and 2 at the 40-yard line.
Why not go for it?
Why are we punting the ball?
You know, because it's a coach, and it's the way the coach manages the game.
That's but what awesome. Do you have? Even the 4th and 8 towards the end.
Just go for
why
it.
Why are you punting the ball into the end
you
zone from the 38-yard
right?
line?
I think it's just the way that the coaches, or Steve Spagnuolo in this case is what I'm talking about because he's the head coach, is just managing the game. That's just the way he does it, and he's not going to change.
So there you go, 30-10, the final. Cowboys get to 7-6. The Giants now 2-11. It was more of the same, even with Steve Spagnuolo in charge now. Still ran the defense in this one and says he did a poor job of it down the stretch.
I didn't like a couple of calls I had in the fourth quarter that resulted in bad plays for us defensively. I don't want that to be on the players.
As for Eli, it was a solid start. Didn't get a ton of help from his young wideouts. A couple of drops, guys not running the right routes or adjusting to coverage, but he ended up throwing a couple of late picks. Overall, 31 of 46, as Jerry said, dink and dunk, only 228 yards on those 31
completions. And I don't know, he's getting the ball out of his hands, yep. trying to, you know, mitigate any potential sacks
no
and all
sacks
that other
yesterday.
Stuff. So that's he's trying to do that. He's trying to help his offensive line, and that's what he should be doing. But then guys have got to break tackles. And that's what the Cowboys did.
You're right.
And that's not what the Giants did.
Yep.
So of course, the question for Spagnuolo now, will Eli start next week at home against the Eagles?
I mean, I thought, without looking at it and evaluating, but Eli Manning's the quarterback right now until something crazy happens.
Not sure how the Giants are defining crazy these days. We've seen plenty of that this season.
But, you know, they could actually beat the Eagles next week now because no Carson Wentz.
Yes.
You know, this is why every game matters. This is why, you know, when you're a young player like Carson Wentz, you got to be careful. You got to live to play another game. And he just plays balls to the wall every single game. He's going 100 miles an hour. He reminds me a lot of Andrew Luck, the way Andrew Luck plays. They're so good and they're so gifted and they're so fearless that they end up hurting themselves. And in the case of Andrew Luck, he missed an entire season. And now Carson Wentz most likely is done for the rest of the year.
We'll get to Wentz and the Eagles in a few minutes. Eli Apple inactive for this Giant game again. He was busy tweeting during the game. Violation of league policy.
Stupid.
Also retweeted a link about Rod Smith's big game supporting his former Ohio State teammate. Here was Spags' explanation on the making him inactive.
You know, the decision there was because he just didn't get enough reps during the week. I talked with him early. He's going to be ready to go next week, and hopefully we're up and running.
The team says he's got a hip and back
injury. He tweeted about that, too.
Yes,
he said he was too healthy to play.
Exactly. So there's something going on.
There's other crap going on there, man. And why don't they just say it? Look, the guy's a putz, and he's got a big mouth, and he was the leaker in the locker room to Josina Anderson of ESPN. We called him out on it. He couldn't handle it. He almost walked away from the team, and he's a baby. I don't know what the hell it is about these guys coming out of Ohio State, man.
I don't know.
I mean, it's brutal.
Privileged individuals, I guess. I don't know.
It's ridiculous, man. And they can't, I'm telling you, they just can't wait to get rid of him.
Why don't they just do it then?
Maybe they'll
salary
try to trade him or something.
I have
no idea why everybody has to go through this exercise of making like, it's something on the who knows?
Jeez. Now to the Jets. Typical performance by them on the road against an AFC West opponent and a key injury to boot.
And another hit taken by McCown. And McCown really hurting now, holding his wrist. He was hit by Shane Ray and is headed to the sideline.
That's Greg Gumbel on CBS. Broken left hand for McCown. Unclear if he's done for the season. He was to be checked out back in New York.
And here's the deal.
It's the Jets. But would you be surprised if he runs out there with a cast next week in New Orleans?
As a kid, I felt bad for him because after the game, he was really emotional about it. He had a great year this year. He's done everything they ever asked of him. And, you know, he should have been on the field at that point. I thought he had hurt his back earlier in the game, and he just did not look right to me.
And he also said he had a hip pointer, which was very—
Maybe that's what it was.
Very, very
something
painful.
Was bothering him. You can tell something was bothering him, yes.
It's a hapless Jets offense. Just the cure for the struggling Broncos. They held the Jets to 100 total yards, 23-0 shutout, snapping their eight-game skid. McCown, 6 of 12, 46 yards. The pick, a lost fumble, sacked four times, just a train wreck of a day. He was quite emotional after the game, as Boomer mentioned, called it the best season of his career, having nothing to do with performance.
It's been the best because of the guys. No, not numbers. You know, it's been the best because of the group of men in the locker room.
And he hopes this isn't the end
of the
line.
I'm just proud to be part of it. So
part of what?
Thankful they let me be part of this team. And we'll see what happens.
It's not the first time, by the way. He's done this in the past. He's a very emotional guy.
I know it means a lot. I get it,
before.
And I understand the work that's put in. But come on. We're crying?
I think you're about to get scolded.
I'm not going to get scolded.
There's no crying!
He played so well this year.
He did.
I do think he'll probably be back next year. If for nothing else, he's earned himself a contract somewhere.
We like Josh.
What are we crying for? Come on.
He's an emotional dude, man. I've heard he's a different cat over there. A lot of respect in the locker room. So there you go.
I love the guy, but it's a little much for me.
Yeah.
It's a little bit,
okay.
You know, he's going Mark Messier on me, Messier can go Mark Messier. I'm just telling you right now, you got to have cups and you got to have rings in order to do this.
You know, there's a great point. If he was Josh McCown, you know, today and they weren't now 5-8, and let's say they were 8-5 on their way to the playoffs and this happened, all right.
Now,
fine.
If that were
it's
Eli
over,
Manning.
Though.
doing it in front of his locker. Like he wanted, he almost cracked.
He held it together, though.
He held it together, but I could understand that. That would have been emotional. That
14
would have been
years.
14 years. Yeah. All the memories flooding back.
There's no crying.
Foot.
But Josh, you know, took it to a whole nother level yesterday.
And by the way, our pal Kim Jones on NFL Network yesterday had an exclusive conversation with Eli, and he did admit that there were a lot of tears shed throughout the week after he found out he was having to step aside. So
that's 14 years. I mean, Josh just got here.
Yes.
And I understand he's having a great year, and he probably loves going to that building every day, probably loves the offense and the guys. I get it. But it's a little much. A little much for me.
Bryce Petty took over. His numbers were awful as well. 2 of 9, 14 yards.
Do you think if...
Wait a second. Oh, man. Now we're going to see Bryce Petty and we're going to see Christian Hackenberg, maybe. I don't know.
I think you're going to see Christian Hackenberg if you want to hear Bowles' answer about what they're going to do moving forward.
Josh can't go. Is it automatically Bryce, or would you make a decision between Bryce and Christian?
It would be Bryce.
I mean, there is no hesitation there.
I mean, I don't know what's going on with Christian Hackenberg. He must suck. I mean, really, honestly.
We like Christian.
You're a second-round draft choice. You played at Penn State. You can't be that bad.
Can't even be active.
I mean, he must not be able to call plays or something. I don't know what's going on. I don't know what it is. I feel bad for the kid.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's for them not even to even mention his name or anything. It's just got to be horrendous.
And typical, we played it for you last week. They asked Bowles, is Josh going to start for the rest of the season? Yes. A couple days later, bang, broken left hand.
Done.
There you go.
Yes.
As far as the game itself, total mess for Bowles' team. He says they certainly didn't take the Broncos lightly.
I didn't see it coming. We had a good week of practice. We were up in pregame. They played hard. We just didn't execute.
Demaryius Thomas had his way with Morris Claiborne. 8 catches, 93 yards on the score. Jets haven't won a road game against an AFC West opponent since beating Denver back in 2010.
Wow.
Those were much happier times for Jets fans. Next up, road game against the 9-4 Saints coming up next Sunday. Elsewhere, absolute misery for the Eagles. Boomer alluded to it. They did outlast the Rams in L.A. 43-35, but the story here, of course, left knee injury to Carson Wentz, the team fearing a torn ACL. MRI today. Pretty amazing. He actually remained in the game after getting hurt, and he throws the go-ahead touchdown to Alshon Jeffrey there with the knee visibly buckling. He could barely move on the field there in the pocket.
It just kind of shows you who he is, man. Yeah. He loves football. He's a North Dakota kid, and everything they thought about him prior to the draft and trading for him obviously showed itself just in that series of plays right there. But unfortunately for him, it looks like his season is over. And now, you know, they regained the number one spot, and they're going to need the number one spot. They're going to need the home games if they're going to want to win.
Are they good enough with their defense and Foles at quarterback?
Look how many points they gave up yesterday, dude. You know, I don't know.
But that's against really that team, offense, though. Yeah. I mean,
and they had the block punt for a score as well in the game.
I would think that if you are an NFC team and you are in the mix right now, if you are Minnesota, the Rams, New Orleans, and Carolina, and even now Atlanta. Atlanta's number 6 overall right now. Think about that. Because Seattle lost to Jacksonville, Atlanta goes into the 6th spot. So the defending NFC champions are now in the playoff mix. Yeah. Now they have tough, you know, that NFC South division. They all play within them. The whole division plays itself the last 2 weeks of the season. So there's still a lot of games, obviously, left to be played between those teams.
Wide open in the NFC. Meantime, another comeback win for the Steelers in primetime, down 11 after 3 quarters. Outscored Baltimore 19-7 in the 4th last night. Chris Boswell go-ahead 46-yard field goal in the final minute. Steelers win 39-38. Here's Mike Tomlin, another wild one for his team.
You know, we did what we had to do to win tonight. Obviously, we got some things we need to work on, but we'll work on those things in our AFC North hats and T-shirts.
Must be nice for them as they win the division title. Dedicated the victory to injured linebacker Ryan Shazier. FaceTimed him from the post-game locker room. Ben Roethlisberger over 500 yards passing for the 3rd time in his career. First quarterback to ever do that. Antonio Brown, 11 catches, 213. Now we get set for Steelers-Pats, which we've, of course, been talking about for weeks.
Well, we can get set for it, but the Patriots play tonight.
Which you know Belichick will have them focused on before they can even begin speaking about the Steelers. Baseball winter meetings underway in Orlando today. You got the Giancarlo Stanton presser at 2 as the Yankees will show off their shiny new toy. Certainly upstage the Shohei Ohtani presser in Anaheim on Saturday. That kind of got just pushed aside.
I mean, that's amazing. So Ohtani had been the story in baseball for the last 3 months. Ohtani, we got to get Ohtani. We got to get, you know, the posting fee. We got to get all this stuff worked out. Ohtani. And then all of a sudden the Yankees just come in and say, oh, we're taking Giancarlo Stanton.
Yep.
Yeah, Jeets!
It's going to break on the morning that Ohtani's going to have his press conference. So that definitely got pushed aside.
And Brian Cashman is like diabolical, don't you think? He is just diabolical, that guy.
Incredible. Here's Mets GM Sandy Alderson with the media yesterday. Did they even dip their toe into the Stanton sweepstakes?
With Brandon Nimmo in right field, we just didn't feel that we had a need there.
That's nice.
I'm kidding. I know. We like Brandon.
We like Brandon. A little Mike McCagnan for you. You know what that is?
That's just being sarcastic is what that is.
I didn't think he was being serious.
I mean, but you were acting like that this morning
No, I wasn't. I'm saying, what did poor Brandon Nimmo do to become the butt of a joke? That was you really think I thought Sandy Alderson was saying, we got Brandon Nimmo, who needs Stanton?
You got upset at that. I don't know why you got upset because if you're Brandon Nimmo, why?
So what did he do wrong?
At the end of the day, it's not Sandy Alderson's fault. It's ownership's fault. You know, you talk about ownership around here, and John Mara and Steve Tisch reacted. They heard the fan base. The fan base was screaming and yelling. They did not want to see Ben McAdoo or Jerry Reese a part of the organization when the Giants took the field this week against the Dallas Cowboys. What did Mara and Tisch do? They removed those guys.
See
it was mercy firings. Get them out of here. Let them go, you know, get a jump start on trying to get a job somewhere else, and then we'll move forward. The Mets are basically stuck, and I think Sandy Alderson, by these comments, tells you that they're stuck, and it's all it goes back to ownership and how much money they're willing to spend and how much they lost last year, what their debt service is on the stadium, and all this other crap that's going on, and it's adversely affecting. Plus, they live in the shadow of the evil empire. Right? They live in the shadow of the Yankees, so they're sharing the back pages. Well, they're not even on the back page anymore.
There's a blurb about Matt Harvey. That's about it.
But Matt Harvey at one time was Giancarlo Stanton. At one time he was.
And now he's on the trade block for middle relief. So for late inning relief.
Supposedly.
So
it's amazing. It's amazing what has happened to the Mets in the last 2 years.
And Alderson's talking about, you know, we're looking for value. We're not going to dive into the inferno of the free agent market. And
God forbid.
Basically talking down their minor league system. I mean, I don't know.
Well, we're not brimming with prospects. I would think things are going to start shaking out now, but this whole free agency thing has been like at a standstill.
Well, you had to wait for Ohtani and the Stanton stuff to go down, and it's perfect timing. Winter meetings start. That's out of the way, and now we move forward.
Christmas is right around the corner, Jerry.
The Mets fan can have
Cole under the tree.
Yeah.
6:44 on the fan.
Don't say that.
The morning show with Boomer. I've come along to your way of thinking. The morning show with Boomer Esiason. Thanks, Chris.
Realistic. That's all, Jerry.
It's the WFAN 6:35 ticket drop at 6:45, and it's brought to you by your Tri-State Ford dealers. Right now, be caller number 7 at 866-540-WFAN. 866-540-9326 to win a pair of tickets to see Jeff Lynne and his ELO live tour Tuesday, August 21st at the Garden. To purchase tickets, go to LiveNation.com. It's all from your flagship station for New York sports and great concert tickets. The Fan. We're giving away concert tickets for August already.
That's great,
that crazy?
Man. We are live from the Investors Bank Studios here at WFAN. Hey, listen, final week of Mike as well, so I'm sure that a lot of people will be calling in to his show these next 5 days. As he said, the last show is going to be him and just the fans.
Isn't that the way it should be?
It's the way it always is.
That's true.
It's the way it should finish. That's right. All right, gang.
No more FAN.
No more. And I'll tell you one thing. Phillip Rivers was window throwing his ass off yesterday. And your boy, LeSean McCoy, he was snow blowing yesterday.
Snow blowing,
yes.
Listen to Boomer Esiason, morning 6 to 10 on The Fan.
A lot of debate over, this is from Die Hard, over is this a Christmas movie or is it not a Christmas movie? Shut up, Eddie. I see you saying, oh, my God.
Well, it's not the kind of Christmas
I can read
movie
your lips.
that you would
Why
like
would
show
that even come up?
Stuff, but,
right, but I'm saying Rudolph is a Christmas movie. Why would anybody think
it's a Christmas movie? March of the Wooden Soldiers. Christmas
people Christmas. Love to give, like, a different opinion of things. So, like, they go, oh, they don't want to give the generic Christmas movie, so they'll try to pick one where.
So let's watch a movie where people are getting murdered up and down every store, right, every
exactly.
floor of an office building.
Yeah, why not blow it
now,
up?
Now, what is the problem, Eddie, with bringing up this topic? Because I saw your mouth, oh, my God. Okay, what's the problem?
Oh, nothing. It's fabulous.
Why?
It's okay.
No, let's just do what Eddie wants to do. Mark in Staten Island, next up on The Fan with Boomer. What's up, Mark? How are you?
Boomer and Jerry, what is up?
Good, man, how are you? What's going on?
I'm doing fantastic. Merry Christmas. Jerry, you're doing a great job, but just don't forget one thing. You still suck.
Okay.
All right. That's great. That's great. He appreciates that.
I'm just kidding. I heard in Boston they're going to build a retractable green monster to go up 35 feet.
Wow, you're funny.
Yeah, that's excellent.
That was a great call, Mark. That was awesome.
That's perfect. I like it. The green monster.
Okay.
Let me ask. Can I ask you a question?
Yes.
Can I ask you a question?
Yes.
Did you see Jerry Jones yesterday?
Why is he signing autographs in the suite?
Because you know why? Because he's a celebrity, Jerry.
I did see that.
He loves being a celebrity. That's why I was asking you, because you work for him.
Kind of.
Does he know you?
Have I interviewed him three times?
You have.
Does he know me? No.
He has no idea who you are. Do they own the Compass Radio Networks? Do they own them? Who owns them?
Peter Kosan.
Oh, he does. Okay.
Yes.
I know Peter. I know who Peter is.
Yes, he runs the company. It's his company, and it's like anything. He's contracted out with the Raiders, the Cowboys, and they have a deal with the NFL where they do a random NFL game every
week. Oh, I see. Okay.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Yes.
Well, I'll tell you what. Jerry was flying high yesterday, so they win, and pretty soon Ezekiel Elliott will be back in the mix.
Yeah, he got one more game left.
That's right.
The problem for the Cowboys is at 7-6, even if they won their last three games, now they have Oakland on Sunday Night Football next week. You've got the Seahawks on Christmas Eve, and then the Eagles on the road, which all of a sudden is a different type of game
now.
Hell
yeah, they could win all three of those games.
The problem is, and I think 10-6 gets you in the playoffs, I don't know if 10-6 gets them in the playoffs. I think
because they're
going to
lose some of the tiebreakers. The interesting thing is now that the Falcons have finally fought they fought all the way back, and by virtue of their win on Thursday night against the Saints, and by virtue of Seattle's loss to Jacksonville yesterday, they're number six in the overall playoff seedings, which is pretty amazing considering when you think about their season and how up and down it has been. And you know they've gotten to eight wins.
It's been a grind, and they could still get to 10 or 11.
Three of their five losses are to the AFC East.
Right.
Which,
by the way, helps in terms of tiebreakers and
sure
stuff
does.
Like that.
That's right.
So one thing before we'll get back to the calls in 1 second. Did you see? Because I don't want the morning to go by. The end of the Seahawk Jacksonville game.
I did see that. Yes.
It was, and Michael Bennett starts the whole thing. I mean, what is he doing? I mean, this is the thing about NFL players that drives you just batty and crazy. They're all about. You know, the NFL is trying to keep these guys on the field, and we don't want to call it flag football. And then you have jackasses like Michael Bennett diving at the knees of guys in a game that is over. The game is done. They're taking it either in the safety formation.
Yeah, but somewhere Greg Schiano is proud of him.
I suppose.
You never give up.
I guess. I'm not saying you give up, but I mean, come on. You're taking someone's health and their livelihood.
I'm just being sarcastic. No,
I think it's
ridiculous. And then, of course, you get guys thrown out, and then you get the fans throwing stuff at the players, and then you got a player for the Seattle
Sheldon
Seahawks.
Sheldon Richardson throwing punches.
Who wants to go up into the stands? I mean,
all right, but then you have a problem with the fan, too. Quentin Jefferson, who I didn't know much about before yesterday.
Right.
You can't do what he did, but in fairness, you always say, you know, these guys are human beings. They're throwing stuff at him left and right and saying God knows what they're saying to him.
I know that, but here's the deal. Just go in the locker room and just put your head down. Keep your helmet on, put your head down.
But you always say how emotional it is on the field.
Dude, I've been in this situation.
I know.
I've had stuff thrown at me, too. And, you know, I've had stuff thrown at me by Jet fans when I was wearing a Jet uniform. So I know what it's like.
I understand.
The point being is you just got to put your helmet on, put your head down, and go right in that locker room and say goodbye. There's nothing good is going to come about by you going up in the stands. I did a Monday night game on television back in 99. I think it was Lincoln Kennedy of the Oakland Raiders going up into the stands at a Denver Bronco game.
Mm.
It's not a good look. It's not smart. I don't care what the fans are saying. You have to remember, a lot of those fans in that situation last night, I think, were inebriated.
Probably.
And why they were throwing stuff at players is I have no idea. And why he would take his helmet off and then go back out there and try to go up into the stands of, like, you know, 25,000 people does not make any sense to me.
Except the fact that he's hot.
And I'm not saying what the fans are doing is right. What the fans are doing is wrong. And whoever threw whatever was thrown should be never allowed back in that stadium again and should be prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law because somebody could have gotten seriously hurt. The player could have lost his eye, something like that. But put your helmet on, go into locker room, take your stuff off, and call it a day. Cool off and don't get involved in it. You just can't get involved.
I know you can't.
The mob never loses. Remember that.
You can't do this stuff. I mean, it's just such a bad look, and it makes fans look terrible.
Yeah, but the Seattle Seahawks actually started on the field.
On the field, yes, but to start throwing things at guys as they're trying to run off the field. The guy was ejected. The game was over. You won. You made your point.
Just keep your helmet on and go right in the locker room, man, and just keep your head down. You have to. You just have to because you know that there are inebriated fans sitting right there.
I know.
And I am not excusing the fan.
But even the fan who's sitting there in the front row, he's screaming and cursing at him as if anything's going to happen. You know, the guy that's wearing the jersey, the number five guy, like, shut up.
And the idiot fans don't realize that there's cameras on everybody and everything, and they easily will find out who did it, and they'll prosecute them. It's just it's a bad look for the NFL. You don't want it.
And such a good win for the Jaguars too.
It was a great win for the Jaguars. It was a good game for.
By the way, the quarterback played well. Yeah.
Yesterday was a referendum game for me for a number of quarterbacks. Some passed their test. Blake Bortles was one of them. A couple didn't, and Marcus Mariota is one that didn't.
Right.
Marcus was terrible yesterday on the road, and now they fall back to the wild card while Jacksonville ascends to the AFC South League.
All right, here's Ilya in Staten Island next up on the morning show with Boomer on the Fan. What's up, Ilya?
Good morning, guys. First, let's just not be bitter Met fans and just applaud the Yankees for doing a job well done in the market to start off the winter meetings.
Are you
and
a Yankee fan?
Yes, he is. Of course he is. What else you got, Ilya?
What's the over-under on Didi Gregorius's grand slams this year?
I know, it's kind of interesting. You think all these guys are going to be on base, but guess what, Ilya? They all hit home runs. They either strike out or they hit home runs. So there's not going to be anybody on base. How many home runs are they going to have? That's really more the question. Let's go to Joe in Central Islip. Joe, what's happening, brother?
First of all,
yes.
Die Hard is a Christmas movie. If I don't see it somewhere, I'm demanding it on demand, and I'm looking for it. So
that's
definitely
what I'm
a Christmas
about.
Movie.
It's a man's Christmas movie, yes.
But on the Mets, if they deal Harvey, what fool is going to give them anything? Even a third-line relief pitcher. It's ridiculous if they think that. I think they should just keep him. Maybe he starts getting hot during the middle of the season, and then get some trade leverage, and then do what you got to do. But to try to trade him now, I think it's a waste of time.
You know, Joey, I think you're right, and you got to remember, Noah Syndergaard said, I think it was about 10 days ago, he basically said, me and the Black Knight are coming back, baby, and we're going to be better than ever.
You better hope so.
I like it.
You better hope he throws to less than a 7 ERA next year.
Let's go to Paco in Staten Island. Paco, what's up?
Yo, I don't believe that no matter who the Yankees get, they're going to the World Series.
Oh, why do you say that?
Look how defensive you get.
I think they're going to win several, on average, amount of games to get to the playoffs, but they're going to choke again.
Well, I will say this. Let me say this in terms of what the Yankees are doing.
Yeah.
They're assembling power, and more power,
they
right?
They got power.
They got a lot of power.
They could be power. Like you sitting in a power chair over there, you got power.
No. Paco, to your point, you still need the pitching, and you still need those guys that are going to get on base. And, you know, pitching usually still does win. So I could see your point. The problem is this lineup is so ridiculously stacked. I don't know that will be the case, but I do understand you. Why are you fighting with Al?
I don't know. It just seems like fun. You're yapping over there about Yankees. I don't know what
Someone's
got
to yap. You've become a Yankee shill, so I'm going to try and keep it real. That's all.
Let's go to Jerry in Danbury. Jerry, what's happening, brother?
Yeah, hi, guys. How are you?
Fine. What's going on?
Okay, here's a positive and a negative. First of all, I don't know what the hell management's thinking about not bringing you back, Jerry, to with Boomer. You got the relationship. You got it going.
Thank you, Dad. It's very nice, Jerry. Thank you.
Okay, so now let's go to the other side. I'm really, really got to call you guys out on your reaction to McCown's reaction. I mean, you got some real raw human emotion there. The guy's an emotional guy.
Yep.
The guy, and I don't know. It seems like a lot of you sports guys cannot handle when guys get emotional, and I don't know. I just had a bad reaction.
Are you getting emotional right now, Jerry?
I'm not crying, Jerry.
We're having some fun.
I feel strongly about the way you guys react.
Jerry, we're just having some fun. Don't worry about it. You know, listen. I always say this. One of my favorite players of all time is Mark Messier. I don't know if you're a hockey fan. You a hockey fan, Jerry?
I used to be much more. I follow hockey. Yeah.
All right, yeah. Well, Mark Messier is one of the great, one of the great toughest guys that's ever played the game of hockey, and a game that I love and adore so much. And nobody's more emotional than he is.
You're right.
That's why I don't cry until he cries.
No one should cry until Mark Messier
cries. That's exactly right. Let's go to Artie in Brooklyn. This would be good. Artie, what's happening?
Guys, what's going on? You know, I know what Todd Bowles is giving out for Christmas. His timeouts. What the heck are you saving them for, Todd? Is he the only coach that I know that calls timeouts only on defense? He's sitting there. Okay, fine. The game, they're not winning that game. All right? But do the right thing. There's 1 minute left. Denver's kicking a field goal. 1 minute left. You got three timeouts. What do you want to do? Go out and say, hey, we're at least 13-0 down. So somebody asks him. He goes, we're not scoring. What the hell kind of answer is that? Come on! love you guys.
I want to watch a Jet game with Artie.
Thank you, Artie.
Could you imagine? We got to take a break. Could you imagine the nonsensical screaming for 3 hours that you would get with Artie?
Yes, I could imagine it. You know, especially when your team, you know, has been inept as they've been over the last year and a half. That's why. That's the problem. You know. And the Giant fan went through it this year. The Met fan's going to go through it again this year after last year. And this is why I say it's great to be a Ranger fan.
But, Boomer, the Jet game ended 12 hours ago, and he's still fired up.
I understand, but you know why it's great to be a Ranger fan? I know they're probably not going to win a Stanley Cup this year. You just never know. But right now I would just say the reason they're winning, I'm not even really sure why they're winning, but they're winning because I think there's a winning culture within the organization. I think we as Ranger fans expect to win every time they step on the ice. We have a negative tinge or two about some bad plays that may happen, but we just think that they're going to win. You know what I mean? And Saturday night when they beat down the Devils, it was awesome.
Shut up, Boomer.
7:19 on the Fan. Yeah. By the way, the
tough
Devils,
weekend
the
for
Rangers,
the Devils.
Well, it was a tough weekend. But by the way, the Rangers, Devils, and Islanders all essentially have the same record.
Yeah. You've been talking about it for 2 months now. It should be a great winter of hockey around here with these three teams.
Well, you guys got to get a little bit tougher and not be so loose.
Nobody cares about hockey. Nobody cares about hockey, Boomer. So how about you shut your face?
Yeah,
Boomer, shut your face.
Why are we giving away tickets to the Winter Classic? Why don't you shut your face?
No, I want it. I want to give away tickets to the Winter Classic.
All right,
I just like to shut your face, Boomer. That's all.
Listen to Boomer Esiason, morning 6 to 10 on The Fan.
It was the return of Eli Manning, but the Giants and the Cowboys dead even mid-third quarter yesterday at MetLife Stadium.
Dallas has it first and 10 at the Giants 20, tied at 10. Prescott back to throw. Has time. Throws one to the end zone for Witten. Touchdown, Cowboys.
Bob Papa here on the Fan.
Bob
Dak Prescott
Popper.
To Jason Witten. 20 yards. One play after Cole Beasley went 54 yards on a 3rd-and-2. Prescott also had a 50-yard TD toss to Dez Bryant. An 81-yard score to Rod Smith, who added a 15-yard touchdown run to cap a 30-10 road win for Dallas. They get to 7-6. The Giants fall to 2-11. So a loss for Steve Spagnuolo in his debut as interim head coach.
I didn't feel uncomfortable. I thought everybody else around me, coaches, players, trainers responded really well.
He continued to call the defense in this one. All those big plays, especially in the second half, puts it on his own shoulders.
What you got to know about me is when the play doesn't go right, I always think that there could have been a better call. That's just how I am.
As for Eli.
You know, it's just, take the players off the hook.
Pretty much. That's
I mean,
what
you
he
had
did, yeah.
players in position to make tackles. They just didn't make the tackles.
I will say,
Steve.
But watching the game, there are a lot of players on really both teams, but mostly the Giants. Never heard of any of them. Like at one point, a guy made a tackle on special teams for the Cowboys. Like, when they picked this guy up?
Right. Yeah. You know, it's
and
a
the
war
Giants, the same
well,
thing.
Well, you got to remember, it's a war of attrition.
I know.
Look at what's going on with the Pittsburgh Steelers right now. I mean, that defense was like the number two ranked defense for the better part of the season. And now all of a sudden, you know, Ryan Shazier happens to be one of them, but they lost Joe Hayden. They lost Matakevich. They're trying to fill guys in. I mean, it is just, and they got blitzed last night by Baltimore, of all teams, one of the worst offenses in football.
Yep, and the Giants starting Brandon Dixon at corner yesterday. Eli
exactly.
Apple can't sniff the field.
You know, Brandon Dixon was right there to make the tackle on Dez Bryant. He was right there.
He
right
just
there.
Broke away from him.
And just couldn't make the tackle.
Yep, there you go. Eli, 31 of 46, 228 yards. Did have a second quarter TD toss to Rhett Ellison, then a couple of INTs in the fourth quarter. Just too many mistakes.
We're not good enough to overcome those type of things. So we got to make the plays that are there.
And Evan Ingram agrees, says they hung the defense out to dry.
It's really frustrating as offense player, as offense, that we can't help them out. We can't play complimentary football.
And we mentioned Eli Apple inactive again. He was tweeting during the game, violation of league policy. Giants say he's dealing with hip and back injuries. Spag says he didn't get enough reps during the week. Apple says he's healthy. Can't seem to agree on any of that. Will he play next week against the Eagles?
That's the hope. That's the hope.
That's a bizarre situation. And obviously,
and the third quarter of this game was about as unwatchable a quarter of football as you've ever seen.
It was
pretty
bad.
It's really a shame because there was a lot of great football being played yesterday all throughout the NFL. Yes. I mean, there were unbelievable games being played.
This was not one of them.
No doubt. We'll move on from it. And by the way, the Eagles, when they come to MetLife Sunday, may have a much different look. They did beat the Rams yesterday 43-35. It looks as if they lost Carson Wentz to an ACL injury, have an MRI today. Team is fearing some sort of tear, which would most likely end his season unless he pulls of Philip Rivers or something and plays with a brace. The Eagles are 11-2, wrapped up the NFC East title, but their stud QB could be gone for the playoffs. Don't worry, though. You got Nick Foles to the rescue.
I'm absolutely ready. I mean, that's why I'm here. So I'm ready to go.
Not that long ago that he appeared to be Philly's franchise quarterback in the Chip Kelly days.
you know, he came in yesterday and didn't lose the game.
Right.
And actually threw a key third down pass.
Great
for a
catch
first down.
By Nelson Agholor.
But it was, the ball was thrown
it
only
was.
Where it could be caught.
But
so
a year ago,
a
he
thing.
Probably drops that ball.
You're right. But I will say this in regards to a backup quarterback. I don't necessarily know that they could have a better guy to do what they need to get done. And that is, don't turn the ball over. Because he doesn't throw interceptions. At least he didn't when he used to start for Philadelphia the first time around. He's a guy that's very careful. He's accurate. He's been around the league. He's not going to do what Carson Wentz did. So that's over with. Now everybody else has got to lift their level of play like Nelson Agholor did yesterday.
And obviously Doug Peterson likes him because he went to Kansas City
and
came
back.
So there you go.
That's why you get him. This is what you call – this is like the biggest insurance policy that you could have in the NFL because you have a Super Bowl-ready team with your quarterback. Now your quarterback's not there. Now they all of a sudden are going to fall down a rung, and that's why he is so important now.
To the Jets, a hideous performance in Denver. They were shut out 23-0, only managed 100 yards of offense, which was the lowest since Joe Namath's final game with the Jets, which I believe
was
in
76.
That's
we
what
had
I,
some bad days,
well,
man.
In terms
I
of yardage,
this was 100 yards.
100 yards,
oh my God.
Boomer. Total.
Yeah, they are
I mean,
bad.
That's, I don't
does
know.
Does a game like this damage,
that was bad.
And I know you think Todd Bowles deserves an extension. When you see a game like this, do you sit there and say, let's rethink it? Now, there's a complete no-show against a team that had lost 8 games in a row. And I know the Jets have overachieved to some at 5-8 now?
Yeah, they're 5-8, yeah.
Thoughts, or?
They've done this so many times under different head coaches, though. They go on the road.
I know.
They go west, and they just, like.
Which is why you'd like to see something different.
I know, but I don't know. Is it a coaching thing, or is it somehow an organizational thing? What the heck? I don't
get
it.
Yeah, that's a good question. It's something that, you know, McCagnan's got to figure out in the offseason. But I don't think it adversely affects Todd Bowles right now.
So you think if McCagnan was leaning one way, he's probably still leaning that way?
I think he's still leaning that way because I think the players still are playing for Todd Bowles. It wasn't like they were trying to give up or, you know, didn't play yesterday. I mean, like their offense got overwhelmed is what happened.
No, they did. He warned us about it all week too, about the Denver defense.
They're a good team. They're a good team. They're just playing poorly. And it turned out that Trevor Siemian decided to have his best game of the year yesterday.
And Demaryius Thomas played well. Let me just point out, because if you go back to when Bowles and McCagnan were hired and the way the Jets set it up, it's not McCagnan's call on Bowles. They both report to the owner.
Right.
So you got Christopher Johnson in there now with what he oversees.
Yeah, I can't imagine them firing Todd Bowles. I can't.
So Josh McCown got beat up in this game, eventually left with a broken left hand. Further tests and evaluation were planned when he got back to New York. Seems his renaissance season is likely done. Was hoping to play 16 games for the first time in his NFL career. Obviously, emotions overcoming him with the media afterwards.
We'll see what happens, but, you know, if I can finish, I'd love to finish, and we'll see what the tests say.
And he says this has been his favorite season.
The season?
Best locker room he's been part of.
Finish the season? Like come back and play more?
Yes, yes, yes.
Renaissance Bowles.
What was that, Al?
Renaissance Bowles.
Oh, that's a clip.
Well, why is that?
I thought that was Al.
Oh, it is Al, but I don't know
Yeah, but
why.
It's a clip. I thought I he turned his mic on and said that.
I said Renaissance season about 45 seconds ago.
Oh,
when
I
we're
see.
Just getting
okay.
around
so you
Renaissance balls.
There you go. Better late than never, you know. McCown and his replacement, Bryce Petty, got nothing done statistically. Petty, 2 of 9 for 14 yards. Todd Bowles says he'll be the starter against the Saints if McCown can't go. Oh. Petty doesn't want to let down his mentor.
You know, you want to replace him and make him proud, too, just as much as anybody else.
There was no wishy-washiness from Bowles. He says this was an old-fashioned ass-kick.
Obviously, we didn't execute at all in any phase, and they beat us up pretty good.
And Brock has only had 273 yards. It's not like they were going up and down the field, but plus 2 in the turnover margin. The Jets got nothing done on offense. They are 5-8. They are on the road against New Orleans next weekend.
All right, so right now the Jets at 5-8 have the 11th overall pick in the draft.
It's stacked, though. They could get to – if they lose out, which is not – not
unheard
out of the realm.
Yes.
They could get up to, I think, 5, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, the thing about it is right now, let's see.
Especially if the Niners keep winning games under Jimmy Garoppolo.
Denver, Houston, Chicago, and Tampa Bay are all 4-9 and ahead of the Jets. This morning at 5-8 and ahead of the Jets are Cincinnati and Washington. So if they go 5-11, which is very possible, right? Mm-hmm. Losing their last 3 games.
You probably jump a team
They're
or two.
They're in the mix.
Yeah.
With all these quarterbacks that are available, I mean.
They'll have a top 10 pick, it looks like.
They get their hands on somebody. You know, just depends which guy they want. So we'll find out.
And right now the Giants, you know, obviously Indianapolis now is third because they lost yesterday at Buffalo. San Francisco won again. That Jimmy Garoppolo just doesn't lose, boys.
Yeah.
He hasn't lost a game as a starting quarterback.
Good sign for them moving forward.
It is, but now they're dropping down a little bit, so they're fourth. And so the Giants have the Indianapolis Colts on their heels. It doesn't look like Indianapolis is going to win a game the rest of the way either.
They've played tight. That's some tough games.
But here are the Giants, right? This is just the way it's going to work out. They got the Philadelphia Eagles with Nick Foles, not Carson Wentz.
Yeah.
I mean, they can win this game.
They could.
I mean,
they still got to score some points.
Yeah. I mean, they'll have to win it 10-9, but they can win. And that would not be, I know Giant fans, I don't know what you want. I would think that you want to stay right there, right?
I think you want to go 2-14.
Right.
Which is hard to say, but. It's probably beneficial for you going forward.
At this
point,
it's the most beneficial thing that could happen to you.
Told you about the Sunday nighter, another wild one for the Steelers. They erased an 11-point deficit in the fourth quarter, edged the Ravens 39-38. Chris Boswell field goal in the final minute put them ahead. Ben Roethlisberger threw for 506, 213 to Antonio Brown. Survive in advance for Mike Tomlin's squad.
Very emotional group in there, man. AFC North champs. We had Ryan Shazier on FaceTime, man. He had an opportunity to share that moment in there with the team, and that's a special thing.
He remains hospitalized with the back injury suffered last Monday against the Bengals. Steelers get the Patriots this coming week. Been talking about that one for weeks. Will likely determine home field advantage in the AFC playoffs. First up for New England, though, road game against the Dolphins tonight. We'll have Westwood One coverage here on The Fan at 8 o'clock. They had the Jags beating the Seahawks in Jacksonville 30-24. You guys touched on it. Quentin Jefferson for Seattle late in this game after Michael Bennett really starts the whole thing.
Yeah.
Going after the center's legs there on the kneel down. So Jefferson ends up getting ejected. He's headed to the locker room. The fan throws the beer at him. He ends up trying to go in the stands, all that good stuff. Here was Jefferson after the game.
I don't know what I'm supposed to do. Like, I'm a human just like anybody else. Like, I'm a man just like the other man in the stands. And I'm not going to let somebody disrespect me, throw a beer on me.
And if not for, I don't know
now,
if it
first
was...
of all, the initial beer, whatever was thrown at him, I guess it was a beer, was
drink.
Thrown over his head.
Right.
Now, I'm sure he got maybe a little spray on him or whatever. If he just keeps running around in the locker room, that's it. And the guy who threw the beer is going to get thrown out of the game and is probably never going to be allowed back in the stadium again.
Right.
And should be prosecuted to the full extent of the law. But if he just was running, it ends right there.
Yeah. Well, he's already hot and bothered from what happened on the field. And I don't know if it was team security
or
stadium security. But if not for those guys, especially that dude in the gray T-shirt.
Yes.
I mean, he's going into the stands. And that's going to get really, really ugly. Anyway.
Agreed. The one guy held him back.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, part of me says that would have been awesome. But part of me also says it's not the right thing to have happen.
No,
of course it's
certainly not.
I mean, for us, you know, to talk about it and to see it and to watch it, would have been amazing to watch.
You know what, though?
Compelling to watch.
I think as long as
nobody gets seriously hurt.
That guy Jefferson looked like he was like 6'7", 310 pounds.
Right.
That would have been very interesting.
The guy that threw the drink was probably rethinking it as this massive human was trying to climb into the stands.
Exactly.
You know, this actually
God.
Happened at hockey a few times. You know, the great Mike Milbury and the Boston Bruins.
Happened
with
the Pistons.
And the Rangers and everything. Yeah.
Yes.
Right, which is one of the, you know, you don't want to see
Artest.
It. It also happened in Slapshot.
Well.
What?
I don't know if we can quite compare an actual NFL game to Slapshot. But
I'll tell you what was awesome. Watching that game Saturday, Army-Navy in the snow, that was awesome.
Tremendous.
Watching last night, yesterday, the red-uniformed Buffalo Bills.
Yeah, the Colts were disappearing.
It was ridiculous. And then when they win the game at the end of the game, a bunch of the guys go diving into the snow drifts and the piles, right?
It's tremendous.
That's like kids having fun.
And give the fans some credit.
Yes.
Like a lot of them showed up in Buffalo on a day like that.
They love that.
Pretty
Come
good.
On, you live for that.
Yeah, I don't know why.
By
That's
the way,
awful.
People, I was tweeting out, so this is epic up there in Buffalo. I've never seen anything quite like this. And then I was thinking, I saw it on Saturday.
Yeah.
But it wasn't as much snow as there was in Buffalo,
you know,
all the lake effect snow. But somebody sent me a picture from downtown Buffalo while this was going on. There was no snow in downtown Buffalo.
For real?
Yeah.
Wow.
I'm pretty crazy.
Yeah.
Did you see Jacoby Brissett, his halftime stats? It's everything you'd think. 1 for 2 for 9 yards.
Dude, you couldn't see their
feet or
ankles.
I know.
It was just like the Army-Navy game.
Yes.
To that point that it was just run, run, run. I get it.
So here the thing. In the Army-Navy game and yesterday's Colts-Bills game, there were no cheap shots. There were no like personal fouls, any of that stuff. You know why? Because there were no passes thrown.
That's
right?
A good point.
Everything was within the confines of the running game.
Yeah.
And everything was close. You didn't see a lot of guys getting hurt. And it was old school, pure, just men against men and trying to acquire yardage.
Acquire yardage.
Yes.
And
I love
McCoy
what Gary Danielson said on the game on Saturday.
He said,
in this game, every play mattered.
Every inch.
Every inch mattered.
Yes, I get it.
It's the same thing with the Colts and the Bills yesterday. Every inch mattered.
That's exactly right.
Just like you.
Do you say that often to yourself?
Only about you guys.
Got it.
All right. Want to play one more Sandy Alderson for you before I get out of here. I just heard from him last hour poking fun at Brandon Nimmo. Well, a lot of subjects came up with him down at the winter meetings yesterday, which really get underway today in Orlando. But the first base situation
came up.
I guess so.
I'm kidding.
It doesn't sound like he's going to be very busy this week. But
well, he gets a free vacation down there. Where is it?
Disney. Orlando. Disney World.
Oh, nice.
Disney World?
Yeah.
World. Yes, World, not World. Land. Land is California.
Right.
Great. So he was asked about the first base situation. If you take you back to late November, he kind of took a little jab at Dominic Smith, basically saying he didn't win the job in September. Well, that came up again yesterday. It's a little long, but here's the exchange with the reporter.
In your ideal world, who would be playing first base for you guys, say, next season and maybe even on opening day, for example? Is it Dominic or is it someone else?
My ideal world?
Yeah. Well, I guess it would be the team's ideal world since you're in charge. So.
Oh, my God.
You know, except for some hyperbole, I don't have an answer for that.
25 seconds to say I don't
know. Nothing.
Yeah, but you know why? He can't mention other players because then that would be tampering, right?
I understand, but it's they're giving him a chance to throw some weight behind this young prospect that they've kind of talked up, and he just
Well, remember, the prospects aren't brimming with talent.
That's right.
And also remember, this young prospect has lost some weight in the offseason, so he seems to be doing all the right things in that regard. The question is, can he play first base?
Well, we will find out.
Perhaps.
Matt Harvey on the trade block here, possibly.
Oh, that's crazy. The Mets are
they
just
don't want to spend money on relievers
right now. It's going to be great.
And you had two relievers go off the market yesterday, right? Brandon Morrow and Luke Gregerson.
I saw Morrow,
So that's two names.
Where'd Gregerson
check
go?
Off the list.
Somewhere.
Yes, all right. Somewhere. The Knicks. The Knicks did win yesterday.
Yes, they won.
Ugly road loss in Chicago Saturday.
That's the thing. They just are not there yet. You know what I mean? They're just not, you can't lose that game in Chicago.
Oh,
and
they
the
almost
road.
Lost last night too. They had to hold on down the stretch. They did beat the Hawks 111-107. Jared Jack 19. Kristaps Porzingis 30 points. Your boy Doug McDermott 23 off the bench. And quickly, how about Enes Kanter? He shows up at the Garden on crutches.
Yes,
because he's got back and hip pain. Still started. Played 18 minutes. For head coach Jeff Hornacek.
He's banged up. He was claiming he was about 75% this morning. I think he got some treatments and stretching, and he was ready to go.
A little Ben Roethlisberger in him, showing up on crutches.
I think it is. I think it's like the whole European thing, the whole
Enes.
Drama, you know, Enes.
If you think it's drama for Roethlisberger style, listen, here's Kanter in his own words.
If we want to make playoffs, we need to make some sacrifices.
So he sucked it up for the team, threw the crutches aside, and he's out there in the starting lineup. 18 minutes.
Sacrifices.
Yes, that's right. And they hit their free throws late to win the game, and they get the Lakers tomorrow at the Garden. There you
go. So that's another one you got
to
win.
No doubt about it. All right, Chris,
thank you, man. Are you going to go to see Lonzo Ball or no?
Not interested.
Okay.
7:44 on the Fan, the morning show with Boomer Esiason, and your calls next.
All right. So, how many interviews do you think LeVar Ball does here in New York with Lonzo Ball coming with the Lakers?
Well, if people are smart, none.
Okay.
Like enough.
We're alive from the Investors
Bank. Well, let me ask you,
Studio.
Would you put him on?
I guess you have to, right?
You don't have to.
No, you got to get him in here and just beat him down on being a bad dad and all that stuff.
All
right. Your kids out of high school.
You're feeding the beast, though.
Put him over there in Europe and come on, man.
Listen to Boomer Esiason, mornings 6 to 10 on The Fan.
Out of Port Authority, they're saying that they do have one person in custody. So hopefully they'll come to a resolution as to what's going on down there and what happened. But all subway trains in that area have been suspended, the AC and E lines. So make other plans to get downtown. We actually have a couple people that work here that are stuck on those trains that are being evacuated now as we speak.
Yep. As I'm sure many companies do. Alex in New Jersey, next up on The Fan with Boomer. What's up, Alex?
Hi, happy holidays, guys.
You too,
Alex. What's happening?
Boomer, I had, two things quickly. One, it was about a week ago, I guess, when the guys were talking about when you went out for the 50th anniversary thing for the Bengals.
Yes.
I've been watching football since 1967, and the two Bengals that come to mind to me immediately are Kenny Anderson and you. So your guys are not just backing you as a friend. You are, in fact, Bengal royalty.
I appreciate that, Alex. Thank
There's
you much.
No question. And now I have a question for you, Boomer. You've been to the Super Bowl with Sam Leish as coach. You've also had Rich Kotite. This is the time of year when people start speculating about who the new coach might be for those teams that are struggling. What is the difference between somebody like Sam Leish and Kotite coming from someone as, of your stature? I mean, there's fan, as fans, we look and see, oh, he should have called a timeout there, and, you know, the things that are, like, obvious, mismanagement of the clock and things like that. But what I mean, what is it? What exactly is it that makes somebody a great coach and somebody that you're wondering, what in God's name, how did he get past the interview?
Well, you know, it's interesting. I'm glad that you asked that. There are a number of attributes that you certainly have to have. One, to me, is some sort of stature. In other words, when you walk into a room and you start to address the men that you're trying to lead, that you better have a good way about you that you can deliver that message and deliver it with a level of respect that is afforded to you because of what you've accomplished in your career. Now, interestingly enough, Sean McVay is 31 years old, and somehow, some way, he's been able to tap into his past, his credibility, and set up the LA Rams to be a very good football team. Even though they lost yesterday, they're still going to be in the mix. You know, they weren't hurt so much by their loss yesterday in a sense of their division, because Seattle lost yesterday as well, and they have a huge game against Seattle this week. But I know what it means to be a good coach, because a coach that is credible is a coach that knows what he's doing, especially preparing for games. And that's one of the reasons why Bill Belichick gets away with what he gets away with, because they win with a lot of his decisions that he makes during the week, how he sets his team up in the game. He's very aware of who he's playing. And then when they're in the midst of that game, he'll usually make all the right decisions. Now, he doesn't make them by himself. He's got a guy by the name of Ernie Adams that he's connected to during the game. And that allows him to make these decisions relatively quickly. For me, when I started, I had Sam Weish, and I had a great coaching staff. It was one of the smartest offensive coaching staffs I've ever been around. And I always knew that, you know, expect the unexpected from Sam. So if it was 3rd and 2, we're up by 6, and it's in a fourth quarter, and they have 2 timeouts left, we were going to go for it. Mm-hmm. We were going to be aggressive. We were going to throw the ball. He was always out-of-the-box thinker, but he always had a play to go to. And he always knew what I did well. So we always played to my strengths. So that I always appreciated. The problem when I got here with Richie Kotite was he was trying to remake the team, and we were still trying to win with a bunch of guys that have never played together. He traded away a lot of assets. And the first meeting we had, he basically said, I don't care about anything but 3 hours on Sunday. And unfortunately, that's not the way to go about it. And you have a bunch of young players that are making a lot of money. They were still making money back then, not as much as they're making today. But when you tell them that, you also are kind of letting them off the hook, that you're not requiring them to prepare themselves for the game that's, you know, that's going to be forthcoming on that weekend. So it's messaging, it's presence, it's the credibility, the background, the ability to speak to men and to get their, well, I guess their undivided attention and respect by letting them know that you're as prepared, if not more prepared, than they are.
Going back to McVay for a second, if his quarterback wasn't a rookie, like, could he be successful like he is being this year if, say, he had a 33-year-old veteran quarterback who was older than him and been around for 12 years?
You mean if he had, like, Josh McCown as a quarterback?
Josh McCown seems to be, like, a guy that would be good to work with. I mean, if he had,
but I think Johnny Morton, the offensive coordinator here, has had a profound effect on this team. I see.
Sure.
Even though you wouldn't know that by their ineptitude yesterday, overall, I would say Johnny Morton's done a really good job with this offense, and you've found some young players like Robbie Anderson that have made a name for themselves in this offense. And I think that's why Sean McVay was hired to go out there, because he had success in Washington, and they saw what Kirk Cousins became. So he may be the quarterback whisperer. The quarterback coach for the Philadelphia Eagles, DeFilippo, could be one of those guys. I don't necessarily know that he would fit for the Giants, because I think the Giant job is a big job.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to have somebody, I believe, that has been through the wars before somewhere else. I do believe that. I really feel strongly about that, whether it be Josh McDaniels or whether it be Jim Schwartz, a defense coordinator of Philadelphia. You may not want him, but I'll tell you one thing. If you took him away from Philadelphia, you're not only helping yourself, you're hurting them. And they're going to be a pain in the ass the next 10 years because of Carson Wentz.
Yeah, no kidding. Richard in Manhattan, next up on the morning show with Boomer on the Fan. What is up, Richard?
Hi, fellas. Quickly, Boomer, you mentioned Army-Navy. I go back to 63 Cotton Bowl, Roger Staubach against Texas. But what I most remember about that game was the Dreyfus commercial with the lion coming out at a Wall Street subway station, 63 New Year's Day. Okay, Todd Bowles, here's my problem, and I'm going to be very specific. I'm not going to tell him how to run the plays or anything. Denver's got the ball at the end of the half. They're up 10-0. Clock is winding down with a minute to go. Okay. They're trying a 30. They're at the 38. They're at 38.
Yep.
That's a 53-yard field goal. There's a chance that he misses the field goal, correct?
That's right, and you get great field position.
Okay. You get the ball at the 38. Now, Greg Buddle drowned me out by saying yesterday, well, they weren't going to throw the ball. They haven't. I'm not saying that the Jets have to throw the ball. If he misses the field goal, you have the 30. You have the ball at the 37. Let's say the 37. You go 26 yards. I don't get with three timeouts. I don't care if you run the ball for 26 yards. You can do that too with three timeouts. You get the ball to the 37. They're 37, and you try the 53-yard field goal. That is inexcusable. There. That he now. Greg Buddle was drowning me out saying the Jets only had 30 yards at the time. They weren't going to be aggressive. They're not the New England Patriots. That's not the point. I'm not telling Todd Bowles what to do. I'm telling him you have to take the timeout there and see what happens. That's all. You get the ball at the 37. You can go 26 yards to their 37, and you attempt a 53-yard field goal.
Richard, you make a really good point.
And Richard, that's what Artie was saying before. Artie said the same thing, and that's why Jet fans are disgusted this morning, not only because they got shut out and they had one of their most inept offensive performances in their history, but because it looks like Todd Bowles gave up. That's what it looks like.
Yeah.
And Richard and Artie are right. If I'm a coach in that situation, I have to play it as if I'm still trying to win the football game. I can't just give in to the fact that my offense is getting its ass kicked. Now, I'm sure that the other coaches probably spoke with Todd Bowles around all of this, saying, you know what, look, we can't get anything done. We just got to get in there at halftime. We got to call it a day. We know when we're getting beaten. We got to make some adjustments. So Richard and Artie and all Jet fans, and I'm sure Joe Beningo will be the leader of the pack today when he comes in this morning, be screaming and yelling about this.
How about that?
Specific situation. And I get that. I understand it. Because I believe if you are a coach, you have to still look like you give a crap and you're trying to get points on the board. You see what I'm saying?
I know you, because you mentioned him. I know Joe was fired up on Friday just for the thought that they might not win the game, let alone have 100 yards of total offense.
Again, so he'll come in today. He'll go crazy, and this will be one of the issues. And
yes.
Because if Artie and Jerry feel that way, you know Joe feels
no
that
doubt.
Way. And you know all Jet fans who are watching that game yesterday, we're sitting there at the NFL today going, what are they doing?
Why are they letting the clock just go?
I get it. So, you know, Bill Cowher was trying to say, look, man, I don't know who he's talking to. I don't know. He could be talking to the other coaches. Like the offensive coordinator could be saying in his ear, look, man, we got to get off this field. We got to go inside. We got to readjust. We got to, you know, let's just get out of here. We're not doing anything right. So that could be part of it. And I would ask Todd Bowles today that specific question. Why did you not call timeout?
You know he's not going to answer you, though. That's
but
the problem.
But he has to.
He doesn't.
You know why? Because the fans want to know. The fans actually.
When does that change?
But here's the point. In this specific case, because they were getting beat so bad, I want to know his mindset at halftime. I want him to know. I want him to tell me, as a Jet fan, why did I do what I did? And look, he slept on it for 24 hours now. Now he should be able to come up with a competent answer as to why he did what he did. Now, if he says to me today, hey, look, the reason I did that was because we had to get off the field. We were not doing anything right. We were getting our asses kicked. I saw that. And I thought it was in the best interest of our team to get the halftime as quickly as possible. I may not like it, but at least I know why he's doing what he's doing.
Fair enough.
Right?
I just don't think he'll tell you that. But I because what did he say after the game yesterday? Well, we weren't going to score anyway. Isn't that what he said? Isn't that what LaPresti said?
He kind of did. But, you know, just give me your give me what you were feeling at halftime. And why as a head coach would you do that when it's so obvious to everybody else? It's so obvious.
Most people are sitting there screaming at the TV.
I know
but
that.
The problem with Todd Bowles is this is not the first time
so we
people
have
questioned
that. We have Jet fans over there at CBS, and they were livid.
I'm sure.
Absolutely livid at that
situation.
Because
it looks like you gave up on
that's
the half.
And that's right. And that's why you can't do that if you're a head coach. You know, because a lot of this stuff, even like with Ben McAdoo, if he ever becomes a head coach again, I hope he understands that there's a perception that is attached to everything that you do. As a head coach, why? Because you are the face of that franchise. That's why you could say the general manager is the most important hire. I would tell you it's the head coach. Because the head coach speaks to the fans every single day, much like the manager does, much like the coach does for basketball or hockey. They are the face of the franchise, and they better damn sure be competent with their messaging.
Listen to Boomer Esiason, mornings 6 to 10 on The Fan.
The return of Eli Manning did not go as he and the Giants would have hoped.
Manning back to throw again, throws it high over the middle. The pass is deflected and intercepted by Sean Lee.
But of course.
Bob Papa, Carl Banks here on The Fan.
There's your guy, Boomer.
Hey, baby.
Your boy was all over the place yesterday.
Yeah, how many? He had must have like 15 tackles yesterday, right?
18.
18 tackles.
He had 18 and Anthony Hitchens at 17. It's pretty good.
No wonder why they're a different team without him on the field.
It's crazy. He really is that he makes that much of an impact.
He was everywhere from the jump. Manning picked off twice, threw for 228 yards, but needed 31 completions to get it done. Conversely, 20 completions for Dak Prescott went for a career-high 332. Touchdowns of 50, 81, and 20 yards. Cowboys won at MetLife 30-10. Lost for Steve Spagnuolo in his debut as interim head coach, and a rough day for his defense.
Those plays shouldn't happen. Certainly not that long. You got to get them on the ground. And I'm sure the guys feel bad about not tackling in certain situations.
I'm sure they do. Manning's return really didn't do anything to spark the offense. More of the same.
You ever heard that after a game? I'm sure my guys feel bad about not making the tackles.
You know what the Giants have become, honestly? They're soft. They're a soft football team. They're a soft offense. So whoever they hire better come in with a reputation that, you know, especially when you watch like Buffalo and Indianapolis yesterday, you got to be a physical, big football team to play in the Northeast. I don't care what you say.
I'm glad you mentioned the word soft. What is Rex Ryan doing with Geno Smith?
Oh, God. I don't know.
Like this, I mean, at some point, can we move on?
It's childish.
It really is childish. I mean, I thought that was over and done with. Rex, he put his shot out there. Geno fired back. Let's just move on.
I told you he was going to say something.
I know, but this is not right, though.
I agree with that, but I'm not surprised.
Whether he deserved it or not, the guy got sucker punched in the locker room. We don't need to start calling his chin soft.
But you know what the problem is? I think Geno had every right to react to what initially was said. I mean, that is eye-opening that, you know, your former coach would say that about a active player, you know, what he said, and that's why Geno reacted to it. And so I don't have a problem with that. But now it's gotten personal. I mean, really, I mean, Rex is like tit for tat now. You said this, I'm going to say that.
Right,
and
move
it
on.
Just doesn't make any sense.
I agree.
And he's calling him sensitive, but to make the connection with the chin brings you back to the jaw and all that.
Breaking my jaw, breaking my jaw.
Yeah, can't get enough of that.
At least we didn't get the full version there.
I don't know. People are losing their minds. So who cares? Like, who cares? At the end of the day, who cares what Rex Ryan and Geno Smith think about each other?
I say that about a lot of things, too.
It doesn't matter.
Who cares?
It doesn't matter.
In the Susan voice.
Oh, who cares?
He does.
Yes.
I can confirm that.
I know he does. Yes. By the way, I'll tell you who cares. How about Roger Goodell? You wonder why he makes the money he makes? Everybody bitching and complaining about how much money he's making and all that other stuff.
You have to help me with something when you announce this. Go ahead.
All right. Well, Verizon and the NFL just announced that there will be a $500 million a year deal between the NFL and Verizon to stream NFL games on mobile devices.
Now, can you please explain to me why?
$500 million a year.
Like, how does Verizon?
Now, that is the NFL offices down here on Park Avenue making these deals for all of these 32 teams. And who runs that part of the business? Mm-hmm. That would be the CEO, the commissioner. That would be Roger Goodell.
How does Verizon get that money back?
You know, by selling phones and selling service.
No, but you Jacking don't. No. I read it. No, but I read it. You don't have to have a Verizon phone to get this. This is actually different from the last deal. This will be available to all mobile devices.
Well, there you go.
Who watches a football game on their phone?
Well, some people do. I know I watch hockey games on the phone.
People do everything on their phones.
Yes.
I don't know anybody that watches. Eddie, you ever watch a game on your phone ever?
You're asking the wrong guy.
Millennials.
But these are the guys that I work with.
Actually, I have watched games on my iPad, not the iPhone. That's fine. But like these obscure college games on ESPN3 that I nobody else cares about but me, I watch those.
Right.
I guess.
I'm assuming mobile devices, iPad would keep.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
Phone, tablets.
So the interesting thing is, like, you know, I'll do Monday night games, and when the New York Rangers are playing, I'm watching on the NHL app. That's what I'm doing. I'm watching that game.
Just think for $500 million a year, you would need more people to go from watching it, I don't know, on their TV to their phone or their tablet, and I just don't think enough people do that, but
clearly
we're wrong.
The interesting thing is, and I'm sure that the TV partners would say that this is just yet another shot at the TV partners
that are
trying to keep eyeballs on the TVs, and you're undercutting us once again.
Yeah.
and you're doing it to the tune of $500 million. Think about how much DirecTV pays the NFL for what? For the CBS and NBC Fox broadcast.
That's also what they're paying for. But DirecTV with the out-of-market games protected in this case. This is for only in-market games. So I can't stream Chargers and Chiefs on a Sunday on my phone.
It's not
unless
like having
I
the ticket
the
on your phone.
Correct.
Right. Okay. Right.
Yeah, but you can stream if you're in market, let's say the Cowboys and Giants.
Yes, that you can do.
So meaning that, you know, you're hurting the local TV revenue.
No doubt. Because it looks like from watching this, Verizon, to make up the money, is going to have a ridiculous amount of ad space.
Oh, yeah.
Throughout the course of the game, which means it's taking away from the ad space that CBS will then get.
Listen, there's only so much ad money out there. There's only so much of the pie. And the advertisers are trying to decide, where do you spend the money? Where's the money most well spent? I'd like to think that it's spent on TV, because we still deliver the best product. And it is by far the best product. It's still on TV as opposed to these iPhones and everything else.
And for guys like me and Al, who are not like specifically locked in, we don't have to watch every play of every game for our teams. The Red Zone is killing it too.
It's another thing that just kills the games and the ratings.
Because is that part
of this? Because that thing is so good.
I didn't say this was the specific. Well, you can watch Red Zone, I believe.
Yeah, but isn't that only through like your cable provider?
Through your subscription, yes.
It's going to be really interesting to see what the ratings were for the Army-Navy game. I'd like to know what the ratings were. I don't know if, you know, because it's a regional game, you have Indianapolis and Buffalo playing in the snow. It's hard to get a real sense of what the overall big rating for that one was.
How about Eagles-Rams yesterday?
Eagles-Rams is a big game because that's obviously a 425 game. And then, of course, last night's game, Sunday's game between Baltimore and Pittsburgh, coming off of that whole debacle with the Bengals in Pittsburgh on Monday night, you would think this would have some carryover. Then, of course, have a 39-38 game where Ben Roethlisberger, the star, throws for over 500 yards. That's got to be huge. It's got to be big ratings.
I would think so. We'll get to that one in a second. Mentioned Philly, or Eagles, rather, and the Rams, and Philly did outlast them in L.A. 43-35. It looks as if they lost Carson Wentz to an ACL injury. MRI scheduled for today. Certainly could be done for the season. Doug Peterson was in no mood to speculate.
I just don't know. I don't know anything yet until we evaluate him fully tomorrow. It's just a report. Yeah, trying to read your mind.
He's shutting down that line of questioning right away. Lost in the shuffle. Eagles did clinch the NFC East title. Chris Long, big strip sack, of Jared Goff to help Philly win the game. The Jets were lifeless in Denver, shut out by the lowly Broncos, 23-0. Denver snapping an 8-game slide. Josh McCown, 6 of 12, 46 yards, a pick. He was sacked 4 times, left the game with a broken left hand. In tears afterwards, speaking to the media, didn't want to admit his season is likely over.
I'll do whatever I can, you know, to get ready to go and we'll see where that leaves us. You know, we still have some more tests and things that we can do.
But it'll likely be Bryce Petty against the Saints, and he was pretty bad in relief of McCown. 2 of 9 for just 14 yards.
We like Bryce.
Not sure they'll like him after this year, or Hackenberg, but that remains to be seen. Jets only managed 100 yards in all. Todd Bowles didn't see this coming.
Guys are surprised, disappointed. Time you get their butt kicked like that.
Which is concerning because they've been bad going west for years now. Continues to be a problem. They are 5-8. They have dropped 6 of their last 8 following that 3-2 start. More from the Sunday nighter now. Steelers come back from 11 down in the fourth to stun the Ravens 39-38. Chris Boswell to go ahead field goal in the final minute. As Boomer mentioned, Ben Roethlisberger threw for 506. 213 to Antonio Brown, 136 of which I believe came in the final quarter. Le'Veon Bell, 125 total yards, 3 touchdowns. Ben says he is a lucky man.
They're really, really good. It's fun. I'm the luckiest quarterback in the league to have the line that I have and to have all the weapons that I have.
After the game on NBC.
That sounds like a completely different guy that lost to Jacksonville like 6 weeks ago,
right? No doubt about
it. I don't have it anymore. You know, here's the thing. We lost Peyton Manning. He retired, right? We have all these guys getting injured. And last night, you have a star. His name is Ben Roethlisberger, and he's on the field with other stars, Antonio Brown, Le'Veon Bell. You have the whole thing surrounding Pittsburgh and Ryan Shazier and all that other stuff. If those ratings last night were not good, I would be shocked.
Not a good sign if they're
because you know, that's a player that everybody knows. That's a franchise that everybody knows. That's why they're on Sunday Night Football.
And a good rivalry matchup as well.
That's right.
And a good game. You mentioned Shazier. Roethlisberger had a ton of love for the injured linebacker as well.
We didn't play without him. He was out here with us, and we know it. We love you, Ryan. We know you're watching and rooting for us. Buddy, we love you so much. This one was for you, bud.
And they celebrated their division title with him via FaceTime in the postgame locker room, so feel-good story there to a certain extent. More out of the ugly finish in Jacksonville with the Jags beat the Seahawks 30-24. Michael Bennett, inciting some drama, went below the knees on the Jags center as they were kneeling on the ball to close out the game. Yet Sheldon Richardson was going after like four or five different guys.
He got tossed
guys.
For punching.
Yep. Yeah, but he was pushing, he was shoving, he was throwing punches, he was doing a little bit of everything. Leonard Fournette upset, and he had Quentin Jefferson eventually ejected, and he had to be held back from climbing into the stands as Jags fans threw drinks at him on his way off the field. Bennett came to his defense as the media peppered him with questions.
He's not an animal, he's a human being. So get out of here. He's a human being. How would you like if one of your kids are playing sports and somebody threw beer on him?
It was ugly.
How would you like it if your kid got his knees chopped out
exactly
from someone?
Right.
Yeah,
yep.
I wonder what was going on during the game that precipitated all this stuff, because it was a nasty game. There's no question about it, because anytime you play the Seattle Seahawks, they come in with a reputation. The Jacksonville Jaguars are a rebuilt team. They're trying to establish some sort of reputation themselves. So there must have been something going on during the game.
And they're tough. I mean, Fournette's a tough cookie. We know Jalen Ramsey has certainly gotten in some guys' grills.
Oh, I'm sure they were jawing back on each other, and they were cutting down each other at the knees and all that other stuff during the entire game. It was a very physical game. There's no question about it. So there's more to the story.
And you know, I'm after sure we'll find out. After that play, they did it again.
Yeah.
I mean, that's where
Jefferson gets in trouble, yeah.
I mean, it's crazy. The first time you have Michael Bennett and you got, Sheldon Richardson, then they line up and do it again.
You know, and I'm sick and tired of just listening to the players say, well, you know, he's a human being. You know, just put your helmet on and go in the locker room. Because that situation would have never arisen had you not gotten into the dopey issues that you got into on the field. Right?
Yeah.
So just, you know, it all starts somewhere, and there's a reason for it all. Just go into the locker room, take your helmet off, and forget it. And unfortunately, you know, Jefferson didn't do that, and now it creates even more problems.
Ugly scene there.
Just quickly, just to interrupt, because we have breaking news from John Heyman. Hey, man. Cashman, the extension agreed to. He gets $25 million for 5 years.
Pop, pop goes the weasel, the weasel.
I like it. He has a longer contract than the manager does.
That's right.
That's good. There you go.
For a lot more money.
He ain't going anywhere.
Big raise over the 3-year, $9 million extension that he just wrapped up.
Good for him.
He had a beautiful scene up in Buffalo near blizzard conditions at the Ralph as the Bills beat the Colts in overtime. LeSean McCoy touchdown run to win it. Jerry mentioned it last hour. Longtime Bill Kyle Williams backs him up. Wouldn't take questions until he had this to say.
Our fans and the people here are the toughest damn people in the world. And they are why I've been here so long and the reason I enjoy being here so much.
Look at that.
They deserve as much credit as anybody. And I love being here. I love playing for those guys.
I'll tell you who deserves a lot of credit. Steve Tasker. Tasker was on the sideline. He stayed down there. He's lived in Buffalo for over 30 years. So we had a postgame show. It was not on here in New York because the Jets and Denver weren't. So we were on everywhere else pretty much. And our producer, Drew Kalisky, goes, man, I think we got to put Steve on. I mean, God, he stayed out there the whole time. We got to put him on the postgame show. So we put him on the postgame show. JB interviewed him, and it was great. He was amazing. And he goes, look, man, I can't believe these fans stayed here.
Amazing.
And that's what Kyle Williams is talking
about. There
was
a picture, one Buffalo fan tweeted out a picture of him and his wife that were there.
Yes.
I mean, they were just doused in snow, and she was like 7 months pregnant.
Incredible.
It's like, oh my God. God bless you.
And some of the wide shots, I mean, just from up in the stands, it looked like, you know, 1925
right.
or something.
You can't even see the field. I mean, it was pretty
and the
cool.
Scene, I know Vinatieri missed the field goal of it, but the extra point
was great.
I mean,
the Bills are celebrating,
and that thing, I heard someone on TV
back
say
in.
It was like he kicked a slider. Yeah.
Well, he was bending it like Beckham.
Incredible. Wild stuff. Jerry gave you the Cashman extension. You do have the Giancarlo Stanton press conference coming up at 2 o'clock today as the Yankees will officially introduce him. We heard from Sandy Alderson down there in Orlando earlier in the show as he's kind of just, you know, tongue-in-cheek about where the Mets are at right now. They weren't in the mix for Stanton, obvious reasons. The contract, as far as their approach to free agency goes, they're going to kind of take a wait-and-see approach on that reliever market, not ready to dive into the inferno, as he said. So
I like it. We're not going to chase players. All right, how about you sign some?
By the way, good news. The Army-Navy ratings were up over 5%, and it's the best rating for that game over, I think, in the last 7 or 8 years.
There you go.
And one of the best ratings for a college game this season.
Nice. You got your Commander-in-Chief's trophy
yes,
for Army
we did.
First time
yes.
since 96.
Perfect.
Lastly, the Knicks had the ugly road loss in Chicago Saturday night and had to hold on against the Hawks. The Hawks. Jeez, my God. Speaking English has been a struggle this morning. The Hawks at the Garden Sunday.
Jack pulls up. Jump shot. It's good. Jack rattles it home. And the Knicks go back up with 28.5 remaining.
A five-point lead.
Mike Breen, MSG, basically sealed the deal. They hit some free throws late, 111-107. Jack had 19. Kristaps Porzingis, 30. And Enes Kanter, we mentioned it last hour, he comes to the Garden on crutches, hip and back pain, and basically they didn't get into like 3 a.m. on Sunday morning. Doug McDermott talked about, gave him a ride home, dropped him off. He's helping him out with the crutches and everything. Yeah. Kanter comes back, he starts, he plays 18 minutes.
Came with the crutches, played a game, leaving with the crutches now.
There you go.
Oh, God.
Oh, God. He is
loves the attention, doesn't he?
They host
the Lakers tomorrow. I saw this quickly. Hanukkah night at the Garden tomorrow.
Yes, I saw who's coming back.
Amari Stoudemire will light the ceremonial menorah during the first quarter. It'll be his first time back at MSG since he retired from the NBA.
Is that true? Very good. Good for him.
Listen to Boomer Esiason, morning 6 to 10 on The Fan.
Moment of the day!
And when in doubt, just take a shot at the Jets. That's pretty much the way it works, and that's the way it's going here. Todd Bowles had wanted Josh McCown to start the rest of the season. Likely won't happen now that he's got the broken hand. Christian Hackenberg, anyone? Probably not. Bryce Petty took over. His numbers were awful as well. 2 of 9, 14 yards.
Do you think
Oh, man. Now we're going to see Bryce Petty and we're going to see Christian Hackenberg, maybe? I don't know. I don't think
you're going to see Christian Hackenberg if you want to hear Bowles' answer about what they're going to do moving forward.
Josh can't go. Is it automatically Bryce, or would you make a decision between Bryce and Christian?
It would be Bryce.
I mean, there is no hesitation there.
I mean, I don't know what's going on with Christian Hackenberg. He must suck. really, honestly.
We like Christian.
That's why you're the best analyst in football, Boomer, right there.
Yeah, I don't know.
Cutting right to the core of it, you know?
How do you explain it?
You don't.
They must just be mortified with the way he practices.
And isn't that it's got to be the same with Davis Webb and the Giants, right?
I mean, he's a rookie, but they
just refuse to dress him and even come up with a plan for when you might see him. You got to be hiding something.
There's plenty of time. There's three games.
The other thing too. I mean, Christian Hackenberg has been here for 2 years.
Yes, I understand.
Come on,
takes time.
Trust me, I watched him bounce many a pass to a running back in the flat in training camp last summer.
Well, so that's got to be the problem. It's got to be accuracy. Yeah. It's just got to be the whole thing. There you go.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.